This case is about whether our country demands a peaceful, nonviolent transfer of power to guarantee the sovereignty of the people.
President Trump survives a second impeachment trial. It's Monday, February 15th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Follow us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, meetings on Myanmar. New Zealand announces its sanctions, disappearances in Pakistan, blooming floral business, Valentine's alternatives. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The United States Senate on Saturday acquitted former President Donald Trump of the impeachment charge that he incited the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. By a vote of 57 to 43, senators voted to hold Trump responsible for his supporters' attempts to overturn the counting of Electoral College results for Democrat Joe Biden, although they were 10 votes short of the 67 needed for a conviction. 7 Republicans voted with Democrats for Trump's conviction. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
It's over!
The January 6th riot of Trump supporters at the U.S. Capitol left 5 people dead, hundreds injured, and temporarily delayed the democratic process of counting presidential votes. But 57 senators voted Saturday that former President Donald Trump was directly responsible for inciting that riot, though it was a failure to reach the two-thirds majority required for conviction. The senators were 10 votes short of the 67 needed for a conviction. 7 Republicans voted with Democrats for Trump's conviction.
Donald John Trump be, and he is hereby acquitted.
The first ever impeachment trial of a former U.S. president was also the fastest. 5 intense days that included Democratic House impeachment managers revealing new footage of Vice President Mike Pence and lawmakers just steps away from the rioters.
This case is about whether our country demands a peaceful, nonviolent transfer of power to guarantee the sovereignty of the people.
Trump's lawyers accepted a last-minute piece of testimony alleging the former president was aware Pence was in danger and still failed to protect him. They argued Trump's remarks at the Stop the Steal rally immediately before the riot was protected free speech that did not directly influence the rioters.
No matter how much truly horrifying footage we see of the conduct of the rioters, and how much emotion has been injected into this trial, that does not change the fact that Mr. Trump is innocent of the charges against him.
Mr. Romney, guilty.
But Senator Mitt Romney, who barely escaped the rioters, joined with 6 other Republicans to convict the president, a sign there may be some shifts in the party.
There are limits to the Republican Party's tolerance for President Trump's behaviors, and it might signal in the future how much the party embraces him or how hard it tries to distance itself from the former president.
More than 200 rioters have already been charged for their actions on January 6, a day lawmakers and analysts have warned could be a turning point for presidential abuse of power.
Democrats always knew this would be extremely hard. But I think the Democrats felt that if they didn't impeach him, it would set a precedent that future presidents could do terrible things and escape punishment.
Trump is the only president to be impeached twice. The Senate acquittal leaves him free to pursue further political office, including a run for the presidency in 2024. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
With the decision, Trump's future in politics remains uncertain. Mike O'Sullivan reports Republicans and Democrats face separate challenges in the post-Trump era.
Trump was found not guilty of inciting violence against the U.S. government after his supporters stormed Congress January 6th, enraged by Trump's false charge that Joe Biden stole the election. Democrats said Trump's responsibility was clear. 7 Republicans agreed, but others said there was not enough evidence. A Reuters Ipsos poll shows 71% of U.S. adults and half of Republicans believe Trump is partly responsible for the riots.
Everything he's been doing is trying to ruin the very fragile voting system we already have that's already been beaten down quite a bit.
A Trump supporter said Congress was wasting its time.
Impeachment is to remove a president, a sitting president, from his office. He is no longer in his office.
Surveys show most Republicans still embrace Trump.
In fact, 70% of Republicans believe that Joe Biden was illegally elected president.
Something Republican leaders admit is false. But the analyst says Trump supporters got the policies they wanted.
They got lower taxes, fewer regulations, conservatives on the federal bench, conservatives on the Supreme Court.
An aggressive foreign policy and hard line on border issues. President Joe Biden and Democrats in Congress face challenges.
The Democrats need to get us out of COVID and get the economy back on track. They've got a pretty straightforward job to do, and whatever ideological divisions there are in the party, they are muted compared to the Republican Party.
Trump is loved by his base, but reviled by some Republicans and only tolerated by others. Kay Mark and her colleagues at the Brookings Institution foresee a range of possible futures for Trump.
It goes all the way from leading the Republican Party and getting reelected as president in 2024 to going to jail or having to go into exile in Russia or Saudi Arabia or someplace like that.
Exonerated in Congress, Trump remains a target for many prosecutors over his business dealings. Kmart says the man who defied expectations of presidential behavior may be the most unconventional former president. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Thailand defends decision not to join COVAX vaccine alliance. Malian rescuers recover more bodies as flash flood death toll rises to 50. Doctors and selfie points help fight vaccine hesitancy in New Delhi. Taliban warns NATO to push ahead with troop withdrawal in Afghanistan. Couples in Thailand tie the knot on elephants on Valentine's Day. Expanded coverage of these stories and more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by our website. That's voanews.com. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. United Nations officials and government representatives attending an emergency session by the UN Human Rights Council on the crisis in Myanmar have blasted the illegitimate military coup that toppled the country's democratically elected government. Lisa Schlein in Geneva has been following the story and joins VOA Asia with more on what she has learned.
The UN Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights in Myanmar, Tom Andrews, called this a moment of great peril for the people of the Southeast Asian country. Addressing the UN Human Rights Council, he said the world must stand with the people and not allow what he calls the illegal and reprehensible actions of the Myanmar military against its own people to stand. Andrew said the response of people and security forces to peaceful protests is becoming increasingly more violent and brutal. He said there is growing evidence of Myanmar security forces using live ammunition against protesters, which violates international law. Andrew said arbitrary detentions and intimidation also are on the rise. He said the military junta reportedly has detained 220 government officials and members of civil society since the coup. They include the country's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, and President Win Myint.
We need more than a statement on a piece of paper. We need real action from the United Nations. I urge this body, the United Nations, and all member states to make at least four core demands of the military junta of Myanmar. That they release unconditionally all who have been detained. That they end the persecution and prosecution of the people of Myanmar for exercising their basic human rights.
Andrews also called on the junta to stand down immediately so the elected government can begin its work. He said there must be an end to impunity and said the military leadership must be held accountable for its actions. Deputy High Commissioner for Human Rights Nada al-Nashif agreed this crisis, as well as previous ones, had been born of impunity.
Long-standing lack of civilian control over the military, its disproportionate influence in the country's political and economic structures, and ongoing failure to genuinely account for crimes committed by the security forces over decades have combined to compromise Myanmar's democratization and indeed its development.
Myanmar's ambassador to the UN in Geneva, Myint Thu, was not swayed by these arguments. He told the Human Rights Council that his government was compelled to take action following election irregularities. He said this was done in accordance with the state's constitution. The ambassador said Myanmar is undergoing an extremely complex and delicate democratic transition. He said the government is looking forward to a better understanding of the country's situation and to constructive engagement from the international community. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Happening now in Asia, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced a three-day lockdown in the country's biggest city, Auckland, after three COVID-19 cases emerged, the first local infections since late January. New Zealand had gone more than 2 months without local infections and is to start inoculating its 5 million people on February 20th. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. New Zealand has imposed a travel ban and has cut ties with military leaders in Myanmar, who ousted the Southeast Asian nation's democratically elected de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi. From Sydney, Phil Mercer has details.
New Zealand has said it doesn't recognize the legitimacy of the military-led government in Myanmar. Army General seized power in the Southeast Asian nation, also known as Burma, earlier this month. Authorities in Wellington have called for the release of all detained political leaders and for restoration of civilian rule. The government is implementing a travel ban on Myanmar's military leaders. Wellington has said it will ensure its overseas aid program wouldn't include projects that would benefit Myanmar's military leaders. New Zealand Foreign Affairs Minister Nanaia Mahuta told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that strict measures were needed.
It sends a fairly clear message that the situation in Myanmar in terms of the military coup and government takeover isn't to be tolerated. Look, the people of Myanmar over the last 10 years have had two multi-party elections and a democratically designated government, and the transition to democracy hasn't been an easy pathway.
Hundreds of pro-democracy demonstrators gathered Tuesday outside the New Zealand Parliament, protesting the actions of Myanmar's military. Myanmar was controlled by a repressive military government from 1962 to 2011. The army still retained influence during the transition to democracy. The military seized control of the country last week, just hours before the country's second democratically elected parliament was due to start. Generals had alleged fraud in November's election. Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy party won a landslide victory with more than 80% of the vote. She's thought to be under house arrest along with other colleagues and aides. New Zealand has joined other countries calling for a special session at the United Nations Human Rights Council on Myanmar to consider the impact of the military takeover on human rights. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Myanmar's army reinstated a law requiring people to report overnight visitors to their homes as police hunt supporters of protests that have rocked the country since the military coup February 1st. The former civilian government led by Aung San Suu Kyi, who has been detained alongside her cabinet, had repealed the requirement, a relic of decades of army rule. More on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, in Pakistan, relatives are protesting the enforced disappearances of their loved ones. Some have been missing for years. VOA's Aisha Tanzim reports from the capital, Islamabad.
An emotional protest for these women in Islamabad as they hold pictures of loved ones. Brothers, fathers, and sons who were picked up and taken away, some right before their eyes.
My brother was picked up on 4 October 2016 in front of his wife. Since that day, we have tried everything. We've knocked on every door, but we still don't know his whereabouts.
Enforced disappearances has been a long-standing issue in Pakistan. Successive governments have tried but failed to resolve the problem. Thousands remain missing. Relatives and human rights activists accuse Pakistan's powerful military and intelligence agencies of being involved in the disappearance. In 2011, Pakistan set up a commission to trace disappeared people and take legal action against those responsible. In 2018, the commission chairman, Justice Javed Iqbal, told the Senate's Human Rights Committee that 153 army personnel were found to be involved, according to multiple senators in that hearing. Military media officials declined to respond to VOA's questions about the commission finding and instead referred queries to the commission itself, saying that is the body legally mandated to investigate such cases. The commission did not respond to requests for a comment. In the past, military spokesmen have claimed that many of the missing were militants who left home without informing their families and were hiding either in neighboring Afghanistan or with separatist groups in the mountains of restive Balochistan province. They claimed the missing were killed during clashes with security forces. Earlier this month, Prime Minister Imran Khan promised to resolve the issue. Relatives said days after Khan's statement, the Commission on Disappearances told them to stop demanding answers.
Are we not citizens of this country? Do our rights mean nothing to you? For 12 years we've been crying. We grew up protesting on the streets and in front of press clubs. Can you not see us?
The relatives of the missing say they are not asking for unconditional release.
Their almost unanimous demand is that if their loved ones have committed a crime, that they be investigated and produced in a court of law. And whatever happens to them happens under the country's constitution.
Aisha Tanzim, VOA News, Islamabad.
Making headlines in Asia, cleanup continues after a strong earthquake hit off the coast of eastern Japan Saturday, injuring dozens of people, triggering widespread power outages, but there appeared to be no major damage and no tsunami warning was issued. The 7.3 magnitude earthquake was off the coast of Fukushima. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, it remains February 14th here in the United States, at least just a short time longer, but still enough time to send Valentine's wishes to someone special. And what would Valentine's Day be without flowers? This year, as Angelina Bagsarian reports, some California residents might just find out in the story narrated by Anna Rice.
Mark Chadoff, owner of California Flower Mall in Los Angeles, says he can't remember a February like this one. It is usually the busiest and most profitable month for florists because of Valentine's Day. But in 2021, February was also filled with a lot of grief.
There is a tremendous demand for product. And then with that, you also have, in combination, you have dealing with the loved ones that are being lost. are also, there's a demand for services and celebrations of life. You know, it's mixed emotions.
Funeral homeowners in California say COVID made this past year the busiest in their careers. As a result of this huge demand, bereaved families are waiting for weeks to hold funeral ceremonies and get flowers delivered for funeral processions.
This year has been crazy with the funerals. There's a lot of orders on funerals, at least like, I would say like 10, 15 a day, that we had never seen that in the past years. We got to focus on different things, not just roses, but on the orders, funerals, and well, it's like two things at once we got to do.
Florist Abigail Cardenas says sometimes they have to deal with something they have never had to do before, telling bereaved families they can't take their order because of the flower shortage.
There's families that actually come in crying. They leave crying due to that, like thinking how they're going to get their family members flowers.
Until recently, florists had been forced to close due to COVID restrictions. But recently, California Governor Gavin Newsom announced that the flower businesses were essential and allowed them to reopen. And though there is no disruption of supplies at the moment, the demand is so high, prices have gone up significantly.
We have like less flowers to be able to do all of those services, which is sad because not only that, the prices do go up as well. Like for example, last year an arrangement was about like $50. Now you will be paying like at least twice of the price.
Florists predict that even after Valentine's Day, the demand will not go down significantly, especially not in California, which has the most COVID cases in the United States. For Angelina Bogdasaryan in Los Angeles, NRI's VOA News.
Valentine's Day is usually associated with romance, but if you don't have a significant other at the moment, or simply have chosen not to have one, experts say there's no reason to feel alone, because there are so many other ways to celebrate, show, and receive love. We hear more from VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo.
It's Valentine's Day, and whether people enjoy it or dread it, experts say this may be a good time to rethink this celebration of love.
Yeah, I think the expectations surrounding Valentine's Day with like the dinner for two and the flowers can be very constraining and like restricting for people. I really think it would be more beneficial, like would make people happier if we interpret this holiday much more broadly.
Sonia Lubomirsky, psychology professor at the University of California, Riverside, says it's also a celebration for those who choose to be single.
It's another way that Valentine's Day is kind of restricting, is that it has this expectation, this assumption that you can only be happy when you have a romantic partner.
Karen Donaldson, celebrity communication, body language, and confidence expert, says it's a good day to spend time with any loved one.
So choose to spend time with a loved one and show them how special they are in your life. So your mother, your father, a sibling, a good friend, a neighbor, a grandparent. And here's the key thing, like now more than ever, you can send more things. So if you cannot see them, it doesn't have to be flowers. It can be a dessert. It can be a charcuterie board. It can be candy, a home spa gift box, whatever they like.
It could also be as simple as a homemade or store-bought card. There are health benefits to showing love, Donaldson says, especially in a year where the world has seen so much loss due to the coronavirus pandemic.
When we do something nice for someone else, it actually releases our happy hormones. More specifically, it stimulates the release of oxytocin in our body. And the release of oxytocin, it's been shown to have, you know, positive impact on our mood and our emotions. It's that warm, fuzzy feeling. And it also lowers stress and anxiety for both of you.
But if you decide you are happy alone on Valentine's Day, that can also be a healthy choice, says Donaldson.
A lot of us have a list of things that we want to do. So now is the time, if you're single, to pull out that list and love on yourself for Valentine's Day. Pamper yourself. Go get that 2-hour massage. Depending on quarantine orders, you can order in or go out. Or even just make time for that 3-hour candlelit bubble bath you've been meaning to do for the past year, couple months. Just splurge on yourself. Love on yourself and define love for you.
Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
That's our program for today. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. You can continue online. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and, of course, Facebook. We also thank our team that helps bring this program to you every day. Our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.